There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, Ryan!
Oh my God, what, Adam?
Are you in the ice, on the ice?
You can see me. I'm up on the cliff. Why are you on the ice?
I have no idea. I just kind of, appeared here. I'm just here now.
Why did you choose that life, my guy?
You know, I didn't, so what about you? Did you
Again,
just appear there?
Yeah, I appeared on the get off, you should focus on you. Get off the ice, man.
Yeah, okay, I'm gonna slowly walk toward you.
Right, two-step off the ice.
Yeah, I'm gonna two-step off the ice.
March, 1-2, get off there.
Here, that sucked.
What, you metaphorically, but not really being on the ice as a podcast bit?
Yeah, it was pretty much both ways.
That's chill. Welcome to the HBO boys. We're here
chill.
Shut up. You shut up. We're talking Severance, season 2, episode 4, Woe's Hollow. Let's get into it.
It was a little awkward, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, a little bit of housekeeping up top. So let's talk release schedule real quick, right?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place.
It's kind of all over the place, and that is on us. It's our bad. Obviously, it's not on you. You did this, but no. Okay, so here's what was going on, right? Our usual release schedule is on Friday mornings at like 5 a.m., and that's bad for this show specifically, right? Mm-hmm. Because this show airs on Thursdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah.
So if we released on Fridays, you would be getting like the episode about last week's episode the morning after this week's episode.
Not chill.
Not chill. As you could probably imagine, that's a bad way to listen to a podcast about a show. So we've been trying to release them earlier. Like I think last week was like Wednesday morning. This one will probably be Thursday morning. But either way, our point is we're trying for Wednesday mornings or Thursday mornings. Hey, HBO boys, why don't you do it on like, why don't you choose one of those and do it so that we all know when it's going to be out? What a great question.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question.
Fictitious audience member. Because it's hard. It's tough.
You know, life finds a way.
Yeah, we did it. We did it. Anyway, so let's just jump in to talking about this episode because it was bonker sauce.
Hey, there's a lot happened, a lot of thematic imagery, a lot of foreshadowing callbacks to the intro. We found out, did a lot of internet reading after this episode because I knew that things weren't quite as they were projected to us. So
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So as you might recall, based on the previous podcast bit, but also watching the episode, as we enter, MDR finds themselves in the outside world. Well, quote unquote outside world.
Or is it?
Sure. That's a question. That's a good one. And they're on a frozen lake and dressed in like black, like old school. I read it as like what I see as like a fake Russian person wearing in the 70s. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. This was definitely Siberian inspired, it feels
there, like. Yes, Siberian. Yeah. It's just Siberian vibe. So each one of them shows up one by one. Irv's on the ice, Mark's on a cliff, and then Helena, which by the way, saying that specifically, right? That's a choice I'm making because that's the obvious truth. We we now know, as per the end of this episode, but everyone knew. So
yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
Helena and Dylan just kind of show up from wherever. They come out of the woods. And the point is, they're on a frozen tundra. So as you might recall on our last episode, we were trying to predict what this episode would be. And we said things like, well, they probably have to lean into Helena's story and Irv's story, as we've gotten a good amount of Mark and Dylan. And they did that.
Yeah, they did.
But in a way that I would have never predicted in a magillion jillion years.
Yeah, this was definitely like season finale vibes. Like the things that happened in this episode were what would happen at the end of a season.
Yeah, sure. I could see like the thing we'll obviously talk about at the end with Irv, like being a she's alive kind of moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think it, I'm glad it's not the season finale. I think it got there. Like for general cliffhanger purposes, we're good.
Yeah. Even for the week to week, like I've been itching to know what happens next. And I can't binge it, Ryan, which is honestly, I'm marinating into the moment. And I like that. Gross. I like it.
Good. I'm glad
teriyaki. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I'm a teriyaki marinade.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I know. Yeah, I get that. So
I mean, maybe ginger.
No, you don't have to specify further. So a lot of this, right, is happening because we're going faster than we were prepared for, which is making it surprising and fun. Yep. And as a side note, kind of context going forward, talking about this episode, it turns out that reintegration, even when done quote unquote right or quote unquote better, it takes a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And that is made clear by Mark not really feeling the full effects of said reintegration for more than like a few terrifying seconds this episode.
Yeah, right. And they were like very jarring.
Yeah.
they were jarring for me.
I mean, there was a few jarring things. This episode was a horror show.
It kind of was. And honestly, when we got the open of them in the wilderness, in the ice, trying to find each other, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, is this just going to be like a filler episode? Like, is this going to be a little bit slower?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Ramped to 12.
Right. I felt the same thing, right? Like, why are we outside? It was off-putting initially, but yep. Then, like you said, ramped up. But going back to reintegration very quickly, as we'll again later discuss when we like get to the end of this episode, there's a large outstanding question here, I think, which is Irv already reintegrated?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he's getting these flashes of hallway or remembering very small things, or, you know, maybe not though, because maybe that theory of burning it into your mental brain, not your eyes in Mark's case the last episode, but burning it into your mental brain, a repeated task over and over and over again, maybe it does start to spill into your any self. So it's hard to really say for sure one way or another.
Yeah, I'm just saying with Irv, right, when Milkshake came to his door, he lied about his whereabouts. And then and he just seems to be a bit more with it. And now that we know that reintegration takes a little bit, it just sort of seems like I wouldn't be surprised if he was reintegrated previously and he was farther along in that process than Mark was.
Okay, now question though, if they are in the quote unquote any world right now, would the reintegration affect that, like going in and out of the severed world? Like, does it still work or does it deactivate it?
No, I think the process of the integration or reintegration is merging those two things together so that even when you go down the elevator, you go from one to one and your innie and outie lives are but separate memories that you can remember both of them and then operate as like a mixed up version of your innie slash outie.
So do you think Irv on the ice was outie Irv, just in the any world?
I think if he is reintegrated, I think, like, say Mark is maybe 5% reintegrated.
Yeah.
And I think Irv might be at like 20%, but we don't know. And we'll see.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's very interesting. A lot to take in on the reintegration front, because we really don't know exactly how it works. We just know we get spits of the past kind of peppered in, as with Mark with Gemma, like randomly seeing Gemma's face, you know, that was...
Yeah, that was scary.
Yeah, that one kind of... It was a little bit of a jump scare.
So we're up on the cliff and MDR is together and they go and walk over to just like a random TV that's also sitting on the cliff, and they watch a pre-recorded message of Milkshake directing them to find the previously unrevealed fourth appendix to the Lumen Handbook, written by founder Keir Egan, by following the directions of strange doppelgangers of themselves. So, as I previously mentioned, this is a straight-up horror show, bruh.
It was super creepy.
Twins are so creepy. The Milkshake message was super creepy.
Yeah.
And, this episode was basically horror first and whatever yeah, else right. you want to call second.
Yeah, the twins, clones, whatever they are, super weird. And it was like kind of an uncanny valley thing. Like they didn't quite look one to one. Like they absolutely looked fake.
Yeah.
But just super creepy with them not talking, just pointing, and like it literally was something like out of Silent Hill.
Yeah, it looked like a purposely made grainy green screen of the actors, and like it feels as though Uncanny Valley is what they were going for, and they succeeded.
Sure. Yeah, it was weird. And then that plus the setting of the desolate snowy wasteland just really did it for me.
They then go on a little adventure, and they find the appendix and take it to the aforementioned Woe's Hollow, the name of the episode, which is a waterfall that is in New York that people on the internet are taking pictures of and being like, oh man, I went to Woe's Hollow.
The tallest waterfall in the world.
Right. Just a straight up lie. Because obviously, if you use your eyes, but if you're an innie, you're like, totally, wow, that's true. I've never seen the outside.
Never seen this before.
Literally, Dylan was like, I didn't know I was assuming the outside didn't have ceilings, but like now I know.
Yeah. I mean, there's a sky and shit.
When they get there, are greeted by Milkshake and Miss Wong, who is still a child, and they walk them through the fact that they've set up a campsite. They have blue tents and marshmallows with Keir's face on them. What more could they ask for?
Oh, man. What a lovely escape, you know?
No.
No, it's terrible.
No, it's gross. Yeah, it's weird.
It's terrifying.
They then sit around the campfire while Milkshake reads out of the appendix. And they, well, more specifically, Helly and Mark offend Milkshake by laughing at the context of the appendix, because what the context was that Keir Egan was watching his brother pleasure himself and then kill himself, or whatever. To be fair, what he was saying was objectively weird, objectively funny. The fact that Helena, was the one laughing at it, whether that be acting or not, or whether she thinks that's funny or not, and then Mark reacted to her. First off, Milkshake's face of like, how dare you, is great.
I mean, you know, do you think, again, now that we know that that's Helena, not Helly, do we think that she's ever even heard that story? You know, being an Egan herself, do you think that was ever projected on her? Because that's something that they would explain to an innie.
Yeah, no, I feel like Helena knows. I think Helena has read every word of every cult Bible having to do with Keir. I think she was taught it as a child.
So she was just in the moment in the campsite realizing that they're actually saying this ridiculous shit to people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that she read it as a kid and thought the same thing. Like, that's another part where like Helly and Helena, how close are they to one another? Right. Like, I didn't foresee this kind of Gallo's humor, honestly, coming from Helena. And yeah. So she's either acting well or she is more like her innie than she knows.
Yeah, then she was allowed to lead on, you know?
Right. I mean, we read her innie, right? She was cynical. She was fun, even when the cynicism faded. But that cynicism was based on, I don't want to be here.
Right.
And some sort of like jaded vibe on, how dare my Audi do this to me? So, which is why we predicted, and I mean, it's not even predicted, but like, I look forward to immensely how Helly will take what has happened for the last three episodes.
Oh, yeah. Let's not forget that Helly's mind went from being tackled at the podium, dressed all nice in front of people, to being waterboarded pretty much. Like, that's her stream of consciousness.
Not even waterboarded, drowned.
Yeah, drowning. But that's all she knows, is immediately being tackled, and now she's underwater.
At this point, Irv seems pretty lucid is calling Helly out about her time in the overtime contingency, a night gardener, ?
Yeah. Tell me about the night gardener, Helly.
Right. What was he wearing? Did he have a flashlight? You're full of shit.
It doesn't make sense.
Helly then retorts to Irving that he is bitter and lonely, and those things are because following the retirement of Bert, he is just like a broken man, which are all true things, but as Irv would describe later, that is a cruel thing. But to be fair, if you take it on face value, and Helly, if this was any Helly for real, and he was saying these things to her, it would also be him being a dick to her. But the fact that he is saying it to Helena, so it is just all actually right, is him being right, her refusing to say that he's right, and then her reacting in a way that is like, I need to step over a line because I need to get him to stop asking me these questions. Either way, Irv storms off into the simulation night.
The simulation night. And now we go on to Irv's like dream sequence. It's a dream, right? He's imagining this, or this is maybe this is supporting that reintegration was done on Irv, because he was asleep, but he's also an innie. So like, do the innies ever really sleep? And what happens when they sleep? Is this what they're seeing if they ever were to sleep, like these weird visions?
Yeah, I think it's more reintegration thing than else, but who knows? Like, he's just going through it right now. And so two things happen concurrently. One is, as you said, Irving sleeps outside. He dreams about Bert, and then also sort of at the same time dreams about the personification of woe, as described in the appendix, and sits down at a version of his MDR desk, looks over, sees that scary lady, and then she jump scares us, which I jumped out of my goddamn seat because I didn't foresee a jump scare happening in Severance.
Right.
And then simultaneously, we're going back and forth where Helly and Mark become one.
Yes, they become one biblically.
Yeah. And while that is happening, Mark briefly hallucinates Gemma's head on her body, which is also scary.
Yeah, that was also a bit of a jump scare. But going back to Irving's dream, some wonderful effects here. And I found out that the entire stage of his dream world was all practical effects. It was a real sound stage that they built, like fake trees that looked dead, and put an office in the middle of this fake tree area. And so it looked great. And then the computer screen, the numbers formed a digital like pixel version of Helly's face. And I didn't catch that the first time that I watched it. But as I researched this episode for more info, I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, that is like such like a cool, quick detail that I absolutely missed.
I didn't think it was that at all. I had no reason to.
Yep. I knew it formed something, but it happened so quickly when I was watching it the first time that I didn't make anything of it.
Oh, to be fair. Okay. What I was talking about was that it was all practical. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
The part where he sees Helena's face, he sees the word Egan, which perhaps is what like kind of gives it away that, or not so much gives it away, but like finally convinces him of a thing he already thought, which is that that's Helena Egan.
Yeah, for sure.
And also, like, you know, if you're at 20 to 30% reintegration, you might know as an outie what Helena Egan looks like.
Right. Now, did you see that when you first watched the episode, the numbers forming Helly's face?
Oh, no. The internet told me that.
Yeah. So I didn't see that either, but I did see Egan. And so when I finished the episode, we get to the part where he's yelling at Milkshake about her being an Egan. I was like, how did he know that? And then when I rewatched, I was like, oh, it literally showed her face in the numbers.
Yeah. The next morning, Irving confronts Helly with his suspicion that she's a mole. And to try to force her to end the ruse, he yells for Milkshake from afar, who is too far away to do anything about what Irving and Helly are doing.
Yeah.
While drowning Helly in Woe's Hollow. To then save herself, Helly confirms that she's been Helena Egan all along.
Yeah.
And even since her return to MDR, and yells to Milkshake to revert her to Helly-R. Now, this scene ripped.
Yeah.
My favorite part by a lot was when Helly was like, Seth, do it. And then Irv went, yeah, Seth. He hit the S Seth really hard to the point where I was sitting on a couch and going like, Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
Do it, it was Seth.
John Turturro really coming out strong in this one. And if this is the last time we see him, which I hope it isn't, what a lovely send off in like just his actability in this.
We're going to be having a real conversation at the end of this season. Like, who gets best supporting actor at the Emmys? Is it Milkshake or is it Irv? Because both of them deserve it. And by the way, Adam Scott should go. Like, this was as. This is as straightforward to me as watching Severance, being like, okay, just, I mean, not Severance, Succession. Like, just give it to all. Pick a guy. Ben Stiller gets director. Creator-writer gets...
Unbelievable. I would have never pinned Ben Stiller as, like, a director that can do something like this. You know, he's always been a comedic director. Comedic actor.
Made Tropic Thunder can make anything.
Yeah, but there's my point, though. Like, he makes, kitschy comedies Cable Guy. And stuff. Yeah, that's true.
In fact, like, Severance can be said and be like tone-wise a spiritual successor to Cable Guy.
Yeah, do you think it's in the same universe? It's like a Tarantino cut.
Whoa, dude. That'd be cool, dude.
That would be cool if Jim Carrey just popped out of the woods.
Yeah, they come out of the woods and there's a satellite. Jim Carrey's laying down on it. We're losing a lot of people because not on. I think Cable Guy is not a widely. You know what? Whatever. It's fine.
It was such a deep cut.
Yeah. So save herself. Helly gets turned back into Helena. Milkshake then gets down to the bottom of the cliffside. Mark is holding Helly in his arms and is like, what the hecker? Why would you do this? Because, you know, he's been duped, as everyone has, who isn't the audience or Irv or, you know, Milkshake or Miss Wong, probably, who knows the truth because it's their prerogative to do so. In that moment, Milkshake then fires Irving, reverting him to his outie, and we see like the effect of when someone does like the eye thing and the camera thing
the
of
transition.
Being reverted to his outie. Right. And that is the end of the episode. So again, just like, I don't know. It was unclear to me Every new episode feels like the best episode of the season. That's crazy.
That is crazy. When was the last time a show did that for real? Was it Succession?
Not even Succession. Like, Succession, you got to episode, I'm not going to say for like spoilers, but like there's a specific two or three episodes in season four that you're like, okay, well, that might be the best episode on that television has ever produced. And like, not the next episode was perhaps slightly worse just because the bar was so high. This is, I think, on an island by its own in that we came into this episode thinking, you said it right, that this might be filler. And was the opposite of filler in that every new 30 to 45 minutes that Severance puts on screen gets better and better, which doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And like, they throw you for a loop sometimes. Like the whole goat thing in the previous episode was like super weird, but it absolutely didn't detract from anything that that episode had to offer, and anything, it supported it a little bit. So the weird like little twists it makes and then they like hit it home during the rest of the episode, like it feels like it only makes it better in some weird way. But yeah, I'm psyched that this show is just keeps ramping up, and I really hope it continues to ramp. I'm so sad that I found out Severance so late in the game, but I'm kind of glad though too, because I didn't have to wait 3 years.
Yeah, I want to cover a few nuanced moments that I thought were just great. There's a moment where Helena kind of like vibes in and out of being Helena to being Helly, and like her facial changes are happening on an episode by episode basis, where like and Britt Lower is, again, like I said, in season one, I think she only relative to the rest of the cast left something to be desired acting wise, but Britt Lower is absolutely killing it. Like, she should get whether it be best supporting or best lead actress. Like, again, she's on the list. Give it to all of them.
They're all on the list. And another thing in this episode that I thought was really, really humorous was pretty much Dylan's only lines were, "What the fuck?"
Yeah. He kind of lives to be an audience proxy, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. And he's just like, there's a meme going around where he's on the cliff with his arms up and his like mouth wide open and his eyes huge. And like, that's him the whole episode.
Yeah. By the way, I really liked the name of the outing, the Ortbo.
The Ortbo, which is also an anagram for robot, so that's cool.
Yeah, I'm not going to read into that.
I'm not going to read into that, but like, how can you not?
I can't. I watch this. That was me not.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't do it. Yeah,
that was me not reading into it. So, anything else that you'd like to cover based on what the internet told you about this episode?
I didn't go too much into it, but I did note that the file that Irv was working on in his dream was called the Montauk file. So I know there's something there. I just don't know much more about it. So I don't know if you know anything more about that one.
But. No, but I did want to cover that there was foreshadowing in the claymation from episode one. Yeah. Helly drowning, or she was bobbing for pineapples in the claymation. Sure. That's crazy stuff,
dude. And there's also, now this might be a stretch, but there's also a little section of the claymation where it shows Mark in a bed with a ton of babies. So I'm wondering if he got Helly pregnant in their little outing.
I really hope so.
And like, Helena just like sexually assaulted him pretty much. That's what happened.
That's so messed up.
That's so messed up, but like it is so on brand for what's going on in this show.
And what further complicates it is like she sexually assaulted a 5% reintegrated Mark, and a probably 10 to 15% reintegrated Mark is going to be the person who has to now deal with that. So he's going to be going through this weird, complicated thing that no one else knows is happening while is processing that Helena is Helly. Helly is Helena.
Oh, my gosh.
Laces out. You know what I mean? So,
sure. So, you know, would it be out of pocket to say that by the end of this season, we're hearing that Helly/Helena is pregnant with Mark's baby?
No, that wouldn't be surprising at all.
So strange. Yeah, lots going on. A lot can happen, too.
Now, does this open the door for Cobell to come back as the manager now that Seth...
Yes, Seth.
He kind of messed up by letting boss almost die.
Yeah, that and this happened on his watch, you know? They went on a little MDR field trip, and now all of a sudden the boss is being drowned and we've fired an MDR rep.
Yeah. And then I think the biggest question coming out of this episode is, any Irving dead? Mm. Do we see any Irving ever again? Because it didn't read to me as a character death.
No.
But maybe it should have.
I know. That's what I was thinking, too. Like, they treat Innie's being Innie's their last time as that character dying, that person's conscience dying. So I don't know. If he truly is being reintegrated, maybe not. Maybe we'll get flashes of him in his Audi world. But also, like, that also begs the question, what do they do with the Audi that gets fired? You know, like, what's that process? What's their exit interview?
Right. And then at the same time, do they go back to work? Do they go to MDR? Do they show up and there's a new person? Is it Aaliyah Shawkat?
Yeah.
Right. From the first episode? And right, that makes right. it complicated with Helena, because Aaliyah Shawkat's also in love with Mark. Like, there's just so much you could do here, dude.
I know. So now, and we're getting one more season, right? Just season three. That's it.
We don't know, but season three is for sure confirmed. We just don't know if it's the last season. But let's not stray away too quickly. I want to stay here for a second.
Yeah.
Is Audi or any Irving dead? Obviously going to continue to see Irving in some capacity, right? Because there are loose ends with the exports hall or hallway or elevator. There are loose ends with Bert. But like, does Irving become Jason Bourne on the outside? or... Like, I honestly don't know. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that the Irving that we know being an Innie potentially, but if he is in the process of being reintegrated, perhaps we'll see little slivers of him throughout the rest of the season. But yeah, it's hard to say. It really is, because this show really dips, dives, and dodges you.
Right, while getting hit directly in the chin with a wrench.
Poor Justin Long.
Anyway, the show rips. Thanks for joining us.
It does rip.
Here talking about episode 4, Woe's Hollow. Adam, be a sweet little baby and tell the folks, be a sweet little reintegrated baby and and tell the folks where they can find us on the internet.
Yeah, you can find us in several places. And the best place you can find us is on our Patreon at patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For one or more dollars a month, you can subscribe to us, get things early, ad-free, some exclusives here and there, and get the joy of supporting small creators like us. But we also read your name at the end of the episode, so I'm going to do that now. So thank you to our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, fuck you, Mr. Milchick, Chris Wood, Craig, John Jewers, Major Woody, Butter Nichols, Buffalo Pizzle, C. Fritz, and Cat's Pajama 10. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patrons. We appreciate you. You know, anyone else who wants to donate more, I'll add you to that secondary list. But yes, follow us on all of our socials at the HBO Boys Pod or at the HBO Boys Podcast, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. Facebook. Wow, that's the last time. That's the first time I've said Facebook. It's TikTok, but Facebook, we don't have a Facebook. So
no,
and
we won't. Gross.
Yeah, we won't do that. But yeah, like, comment, subscribe, follow, interact with me. It'll be a cool time.
Yeah, man. And come back next week while I say this really slow sentence. To look up the names
of
the episodes.
Sure.
It is Trojan's Horse.
That's
Mark, right?
What that mean?
It's Mark.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. He's it's just Mark. Like, it's Mark.
He's inside, but he's reintegrated and he's going through it probably.
You know what? Part of me doesn't want it to be that on the nose. I want it to be something different, but I'd be okay if it was, you know?
Yeah. And then one more housekeeping item, because I really haven't brought this up in a while, and sure. I think I should, just because, like, if anyone's actually still here, then they actually like this podcast, so we should talk, and they we should tell them about this. I haven't said this in a while, but a few years ago, we made a really long, like, full season of a podcast where we do a bunch of voices, and it's this, like, long thing, and it's called Nothing Star Academy. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. And if you want to go listen to that and get, like, a bit more extra content from your local HBO boys, that is readily available. The premise of it is, like, what if D&D characters were in a school like Hogwarts? Like, what would that be like? If the, you think the answer is a complete fucking disaster, then you were you nailed it.
What a great promotion. But yes, you can hear us do voices, characters. It's scripted. It's fun. You can also hear a bunch of our friends of the pod on that as well, also doing voices. And it's definitely something to check out. We had a lot of fun making it.
Speaking of which, also, founder of this podcast, along with myself, Jimmy, has a YouTube channel now. Erratic Jimmy. Adam and I do voices on that as well. He's doing, like, readings, like, dramatic readings of books or whatever. I don't know. I don't read, but he does.
He just tells us what to say.
Right. He just tells us what to say. So, like, go look that up as well.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. And we'll talk to you next week. Episode 5. Very psyched to keep talking about this show. It's a banger, dude.
That's true. Okay, bye.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.